Now, most of us who are gathered here in this room today have heard the story which Peter just read to us, the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, the story of Palm Sunday. We have heard it over and over and over again. And most of us are familiar with the significance of that story in the history of the world. We know that this event, the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, set in motion the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. It set in motion events which would lead to his crucifixion and death, and then to his resurrection. It set in motion events through which the plan for our salvation would be revealed. Truly, this is one of the most important beginnings ever laid before the eyes of humanity. On Palm Sunday last, I dealt with all of that. On Palm Sunday coming, I'm going to deal with it again. You want to hear about Palm Sunday? You come back and I'll give it to you. But today, there's one little phrase which jumps out of the story that we never have time to look at, but I want you to consider with me today, just one little phrase. Got your curiosity piqued? You're all saying, what phrase, right? No? Come on. The phrase is repeated twice in verse 31 and then again in verse 34. What is the phrase? The Lord needs it. You got it. The Lord needs it. Now, in the case at hand, the thing that the Lord needed was a donkey. Can you imagine? He wanted the colt, the foal of a donkey, upon which no one had ever ridden. And Jesus needed it to enact the prophecy which is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. There it says, behold, your king comes to you humble and riding on a donkey. Now, for the Jews, this was a great messianic prophecy. They knew that when the messianic king came to Jerusalem, they would recognize him because he would come to them humble and riding on a donkey, fulfilling the words that came from Zechariah 9. Jesus needed the donkey to ride on so that he could lay claim to his messianic title in the ancient words of the prophet Zechariah. He would come to them as the prophet said he would come to them, humble and riding on the donkey. On the day in question, Jesus sent two of his disciples into a nearby village to find a donkey. He said it would be tied near the village gate. He instructed them to untie the animal and to bring it to him. And he told them that if anyone asked them why they were taking the donkey, they were to say, the Lord needs it. So the two appointed disciples went into the village about which Jesus had told them. And near the gate, just as Jesus said it would be, there was tied a donkey to the hitching post. When they started to untie the donkey to bring it back to Jesus, sure enough, the owners of the animal asked them, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord needs it. And the owners of the donkey, let them take it. Now, it's all right there in black and white in the text, right? It's all right there. And what we fail to understand is the whole thing is just a bit unusual. See, back then, a donkey was a valuable piece of property, kind of like your car. Normally, you would not just let anyone take your donkey. The men who owned the donkey did not know the disciples that Jesus had sent to bring it to him. And yet when the disciples said to the owners of the donkey, the Lord needs it, they let it go. They just let it go. And it was all done to fulfill the ancient words of the prophecy. It was all part of God's plan for revealing the process of our salvation. But they just let it go. Why? Because the Lord needed it. Okay, you ready now? For just a moment, I want you to picture your pile of stuff. I need to say this because it's on my heart to say it. But Mindy's sitting back there, and her pile of stuff is nothing but a bunch of ashes. It's all gone. But you picture your stuff, okay? Got it in your head? All the stuff. You know, some of it's precious to you. You've been accumulating it all your life. Collecting it up. Some of it may actually have exceptional value in the terms of the world thinks. It may really be worth something. And some of it has absolutely no value to anybody else but you, right? As you picture that great pile of what the hymnist calls your hoarded resources, sort of begin to sort it out, will you? I mean, in one pile, put the stuff that you could lose without any thought, really. Just let it go. And in the other pile, put the stuff that is really valuable, either because it has intrinsic worth in the markets of the world, or because you like it so much that it would be hard for you to let it go. Sort your stuff out into one of those two piles. The stuff they could take and the stuff you really like. And then imagine that along come two men, disciples of, if you like, who don't want the stuff in the pile you could discard, but who want to take something out of the pile that you think is valuable. They start to untie your donkey. And when you object to them taking your donkey, all they say to you is, "The Lord needs it." Would you let it go? Could you let it go? If the Lord needed the thing in your life which is most valuable to you, could you let it go? Always amazes me the story of Palm Sunday. There was no contract signed. There was no guarantee that the donkey would ever be returned. They did not know the names of the men who were taking it, but the owners of the donkey let it go. Honestly, now, could you do that? I mean, if Jesus wanted your donkey, could you just let it go? You know, so much depended on them doing that, letting it go. So much was begun because they were willing to let that donkey go. But could you do it? Could you let your donkey go? I know what Jesus wants most from you. I know what he wants. It's not your money, not your house. It's your heart. Yesterday, after Darla's funeral, I got to tell you, yesterday was a really great day. We celebrated a life worth celebrating and knew in our hearts that she went home with the Lord and that she'll be there safe with him forever. We had a great concert last night, 2 hours of solid worship that was wonderful. I'll wait till he turns it off. My Aunt Ann would say, it better be the Lord calling. Mm-hmm. And it might be. Who knows? I'll get there in a minute. It was a great day at Cornerstone. It really was a great day. Ken, after the funeral was done, went over in the fellowship hall, and this guy came up to me, and he broke my heart. He's still breaking my heart. I want to cry for him. He said to me, you did a really good job with that funeral service. I actually saw the fire of hell before my eyes. But I'm not ready to be saved yet. Honestly, my first thought was about the audacity of the man. I mean, why'd you come and tell me that? Okay, I preached my heart out. I wanted people to respond to Jesus Christ. Harry had told me that there were people in the room who didn't know the Lord. You know what? He was right. I found one. Okay, and my heart broke for the audacity of that man to come and say that to my face. And then I began inside to weep for him, because you know what? There's going to come a moment when he's going to wish he said yes to Jesus Christ. And I don't know when that moment is, and he doesn't know when that moment is. And right now, he may be experiencing that moment when he needs to have said yes to the Lord. I don't know. But he left here yesterday with this kind of crooked smile on his face, saying, I'm not yet ready to be saved. I'm not yet ready to give my heart to Jesus. The disciple came and started to untie the dude's donkey because Jesus wanted his heart. And he would not let it. It's time, folks. Today, through the text, Jesus is not asking for your donkey. He's asking for your heart. And it's time to let it go.